Well, once again, I want to say welcome to those of you who are guests with us today. And as I begin today's sermon, I'm going to give us, as a church, an update on a particular Christmas project that we've been giving towards this year in order to supply for others' needs. And so as a church, we have been setting a goal of providing 11 what are called Jesus Wells through an organization called Gospel for Asia, Christian Mission Organization. And these Jesus Wells provide clean water for people in areas, predominantly in India, but in other places of the world, where they don't have access to clean water. But they're named Jesus Wells because they're also meant to introduce people to the living water, Jesus, who can touch us within our souls and provide living water to come out from in our midst because we've been changed as a people. So we set a goal of 11 Jesus Wells at $1,000 each for $11,000 this Christmas time. And that's a big goal, but God has given through you sacrificially. And I want to give you just a quick update here. Now, we set that goal of 11. Last week we had 9, and the big black box is a mystery to provide suspense, right, to get you on the edge of your seat. I thought we'd do a multiple choice test this morning. Okay, let's put that multiple choice test up. How many wells do you think we have thus far? There's still this Sunday and then also the next Sunday that we set as a deadline for giving towards us. So do you think, pick something in your mind, 11, 14, 18, or 22? Get that in your head. Okay. And the fake drum roll coming. All right, and here's how many wells the Lord has provided through you so far. Let's see that. 18 wells. Yeah, praise the Lord. And so we still have one more week to give. If you've purposed in your heart to give, still time to put that in. But that's going to make a huge difference. A huge difference in the lives of people who are without clean water throughout the world. These Jesus wells that we're providing are actually multiple gifts within one large gift. You think of a well, you know, sometimes you have to dig, you know, 200 feet down to find the water. But one large gift is actually a gift that is multiple gifts within that one large one. Let me tell you what I mean. In this particular case, these wells provide fresh, clean water. That's a gift. You know, this morning I went and brushed my teeth and I turned on the water, no problem. I got a drink of water, no problem. But in many parts of the world, in fact, we're told that 1.5 million people will die this year because of waterborne diseases and such from not having clean drinking water. So fresh, clean water is a gift that's given. Health, you know, because you don't have to have these diseases that are born in water, you have the clean water. That's a gift, health. These wells are close proximity to the people's homes and their villages. They don't have to walk many miles now because there'll be one right in their villages. And that will be, that's maybe something we don't understand because we have transportation here pretty readily available, but they have to walk wherever they go. Another gift that this is that these wells are open to all. In the Indian caste system, ranking people according to the social status, those of the lower rank cannot drink from the water wells of those of higher rank. But these Jesus wells, just like the love of Christ, are open to anybody to come and get the water from. Also, there's a plaque. You'll see a plaque right there of the Jesus Well plaque. It has John 4, 13 and 14 listed there. Whoever drinks of this water will be thirsty, but whoever drinks of the water I give him, he will never thirst again. It will become in him a living water welling up to eternal life. So they hear about Christ, and they're planted or dug right beside churches in those little village areas. And so they get to know the pastor and the Christians there. And many people come to know Christ, which is the ultimate goal, to have the living life, the light, and the living water living inside of us. So the gift is a water well, but the multiple gifts that come from that, and obviously the ultimate gift is the knowledge of Jesus Christ and hearing about eternal life in his name. And so likewise, we take this Christmas project we're doing. I want to draw an analogy to eternal life. Likewise, at the season of Christmas, we celebrate the gift of God who sent his most unique son into the world to save us from our sins, to bring us into a relationship with him, and to grant us the promise and reality of heaven when our physical life on this earth is over. We can begin to experience eternal life right now, but it's fully realized when we pass from this life. And so that one gift of Jesus brings multiple gifts into our lives. Today we're going to be learning from John 1, verses 1 through 13. So if you go ahead and turn there in your Bibles, it's also going to be on the screen. I'd like us to read that together as we get started today. Most of the messages are going to concentrate on verses 4 through verse 13, but we will read the entire passage together. So let's lift our voices. We can read it together out of your Bibles. I have the New American Standard Version if you have that. Otherwise, it's on the screen. Let's read together. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There came a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify about the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. There was the true light, which, coming into the world, enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Thank you. God's word from John chapter 1. Well, the gifts that we receive after we receive Jesus as a Savior, that gift of God, the gift-wrapped God that was sent into the world for us, I'm going to point out three of them. We receive many gifts, but this passage, I believe, brings out three of those gifts, and we're going to dig into those. So you can follow along in your bulletin, in your outline, if you would like to and have one. So when we receive the gift of Jesus, we first of all receive the gift of eternal life. We see that in verse 4. He says, in him was life. Jesus himself is life. We're going to talk about that for just a moment. I wrote probably a confusing sentence in your bulletin, but let me explain what it means. Here's the confusing sentence. Jesus existed before he began the beginning. You English majors might be thinking, what in the world is the preacher doing? That's not even a sentence. Jesus existed before he began the beginning. Let me explain what that means. We're told in verses 1 through 3 about the true nature of who Jesus is. We know Jesus as the baby in the manger. This little caricature on the screen shows Jesus as the baby in the manger. We know him in physical human flesh. We know him as Jesus. That's his human name, so to speak, obviously given to him by God with divine meaning. But Jesus has always existed before he was known as Jesus. He is God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Jesus is eternal. We read that in verses 1 and 2. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He's always been. And so we begin to know him because we know him because he looks like us. He becomes human. Okay, so Jesus is the eternal God. That might be a new concept for you, but there's plenty of evidence in Scripture and in the life of Jesus to prove that. Jesus is the eternal God, but he's also, verse 3 tells us, that he's the creator. So when I say that Jesus existed, that's his eternality, and before he began the beginning, Jesus was at the beginning of the world, and God used him as the agent of creation to create the world. So he's the one who began the beginning. Got it? All right. So Jesus began the beginning. He is the creator. Verse 4 tells us that he is life, and we know from the rest of the scriptures that he offers eternal life to us. Life, when it comes to God, is what is called self-existence. God has no dependence upon anyone for life. He just is life. He's eternal. There's no death in him. There's no darkness. He's just life. He's always existed. And so Jesus also. John 5:26 says this, for just as the Father has life in himself, he just is life, even so he gave to the Son also to have life in himself. So they are life. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, God is life. God cannot die, and he gives that gift of life, eternal life, to those who will receive it. And we're going to talk about more about that in a moment. But why do we need eternal life? I mean, don't we just live and die and go into heaven? Well, that's the thought of many in our day and throughout history. But here's the problem. We are currently in a position, in a state, where death reigns and eternal life in heaven is not our right. It's not our automatic destination. Let's talk about, first of all, our current position. Currently, we experience inward or spiritual death, and it's a separation from our life source. I don't know if you've ever been lost as a child. You go to a store and you can't find your parents, and there's those moments of absolute fright that feel like an eternity because you're not connected to your parents anymore. That's the state that we're in. Our parents, so to speak, you can't see them. We're lost because of our sin. Ephesians 2:1 says, "You were dead in your trespasses and your sin." So we have inward spiritual death separated from God. But we also experience outward or physical death. That's as a consequence of our sin. We're told in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, that therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sinned. We are sinful or sinners by nature, but also by our own volition or our own action. And so that's the bad news. That's our current state, our current position in humanity. But here's the gift, and this is what makes Christmas so wonderful. Is it darkness has turned into light, death has turned into life. The gift is inward or spiritual life. Did you know that you can begin now to experience eternal life? Eternal life is a phrase that means both quality of life, but also duration. So we'll talk, it's eternity as in keep going, but eternal as in the quality of life that we can experience. We can experience that right now. A few years ago, you know, I read this verse many times, John 17, verse 3. But we were doing a Bible study in the small group I was in at that particular time, and this totally occurred to me. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. To know God is eternal life. So right now, by faith in Christ, because of his grace, you are, if you've trusted Christ, experiencing eternal life. And then we fully realize it when we pass into heaven upon dying and obviously receiving Christ beforehand. So eternal life is joy and peace and grace and hope and purpose, happiness, love, care, acceptance, affirmation, and value. Because you are connected with God, your life source, by faith in Christ. Jesus says, the thief came to steal and kill and destroy. But John 10:10, he goes on, he says, but I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. So as Christians, that needs to be seen on our outside. Maybe our circumstances are really quite horrible. But there's something inside that just exudes outwardly because we know Christ. We have eternal life inside of us. So there's that inward spiritual life as a gift, but also the outward physical life is a gift. You remember how I said that eternal life means quality of life, but also duration of life? And that's what Jesus says in John 11:25. Jesus said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Whoa, that's heavy. That's a pretty bold promise. And he says, do you believe this? Do you believe in who I am, that I am the resurrection and life? Not that I offer it, but that I am the one standing before you today. Not today, because I'm just a preacher, but as if I was Jesus. The one standing before you today, I am the resurrection and the life. If you believe in me, you'll never die. So even in the midst of our mortality, Jesus says we can be immortal. So you see the quality of life, but also the duration of eternal life. So Jesus is life. Let me give you this illustration. You know, some people, we try to achieve life, what we think is life, on our own in our own efforts. How many of you at home, by show of hands, have an artificial tree, a Christmas tree up for Christmas? You got a few? All right. Oh, man, you real tree people better put up your hands because that was a lot of people. All right. How many of you have a real tree up at home? We put ours up yesterday. Okay. Now, what I'm about to say is no slam on anybody who has an artificial tree. It's just for the sake of this, for this illustration, okay? Think of it. Oh, we'll talk afterwards, okay? This is not the time to get into a fight, Pastor Ron. Right? No matter how many decorations or ornaments we put on the artificial tree, it only masks that it's not real. It doesn't make the artificial tree real. Okay? Track with me here. In our lives, no matter how many ornaments or decorations we put on ourselves through achievements or the image that we portray about ourselves, it doesn't actually mean that we're experiencing true life. It's artificial. And so we cannot experience true life apart from Jesus Christ. If you want real life, you need to know Jesus Christ. Everything else is just sort of a facade to make people think, or maybe even ourselves think, that we really are experiencing real life, but it's just a mirage. It doesn't actually exist. True life, spiritual life, soul-level life, eternal life from God is only obtained by knowing life himself, and that is Jesus Christ. Now, there's a woman in our church who just a few months ago trusted Christ as her Savior. And one day, she was talking to her Avon lady. The Avon lady came over. And in the midst of their conversation, the Avon lady said to her, "There's something different about you. What's going on?" And so this woman began to just talk about how Christ has gotten a hold of her. She's attending church. She's reading her Bible. And her whole life has changed because she's received Christ by his grace and through faith. And now she says, as opposed to before, there's a smile on her face, and there's hope and peace and purpose in her heart. Why? Because of Jesus. Why? Because he is life. And it comes from within, and it just exudes outward. Jesus Christ is life. When we receive him, we receive the gift of life. 1 John 5:11-12 says, "The testimony is this, that God has given us eternal life." There's a gift of life again. It's in his Son. And the Apostle John makes things very clear. He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. Have you received the life that is Jesus himself? Are you experiencing that in your life today? So that's the first gift that we receive when we receive Jesus. Let's move on to the second one. The second one is that when we receive Jesus, we receive the gift of unstoppable light. And we're going to take a look at the second part of verse 4 on through verse 9. Unstoppable light. You know, in Jesus' day in the land of Israel, it was a difficult day. The climate of the land and the culture was very difficult. For instance, on the throne of Israel, controlled by Rome, was King Herod, Herod the Great. Well, he wasn't so great, by the way. We get one small snippet of his ruthlessness and selfishness and murderous heart when we read in Matthew chapter 2 about how when he found out from the wise men that there was to be born in the land of Israel, the Messiah, he hires the scribes and says, "Where's the Messiah to be born?" And they said, clearly in scriptures, in Micah chapter 5, he's going to be born in Bethlehem. So Herod discerns the time when the wise men saw the star, and he determines and sends out his men down to Bethlehem to kill all of the boys in Bethlehem who were age 2 and younger because he didn't want the king of Israel to ascend to the throne. Why? Because I'm the king. Nobody has a rightful claim on this throne. I'm the king. And so he murders babies because of his ruthlessness and selfishness. I would think that that would send the land all abuzz. And this is just a small snippet of what he was like. It was a dark day in Israel. Mary and Joseph were from a very small, poor village in the north of in Galilee, the region of Galilee, a small farming community. And things were hard. Israel also had waited for thousands of years for the Savior to come that had been promised to them through the prophets. He hadn't arrived yet. If we bring it to our day, think about now. Right now in our country, really our whole world, there's this darkness of, of spiritual and financial difficulties, financial darkness, spiritual darkness, moral darkness in our land, uncertainty in many different areas of our lives. But imagine the joy that erupts in their hearts, in our hearts, when you see that a light has dawned, that the Savior really has come to save us from our sins. And that's why when the word spread about Jesus being born through the shepherds, through the magi, and through the angels, people were so glad to grab onto that. The promise has come. The light has dawned in the dark land, as we read earlier from Isaiah chapter 9. Jesus is the light in the midst of the darkness. And can I say this to you too? Not just 2,000 years ago, but today. Jesus is the light in the midst of darkness. Jesus shines bright in the darkness. I love what Jesus says in John 8:12. It's one of the first verses I memorized as a new Christian. He says, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life." I love that. Do you want life flowing out from inside of you? Do you want light flowing out from inside of you? Jesus Christ is life. He is the light of the world. And you know how just one small light can pierce the blackest darkness. Well, imagine how, well, you know it, if you know Christ as your Savior, how this bright, shining light spreads throughout all the world and pierces the darkness and makes the darkness flee. Let me give you a couple truths about Jesus as the light. First of all, darkness is powerless against the light. Let me take you back here to the Scriptures, verse 5. We read in verse 4, "In him the life was the light of men." Verse 5, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." The word for comprehend is probably better to be overcome it. The darkness could not overcome the light. And that's in verse 5. And so darkness is powerless against the light. That's the first truth. No darkness can stand against the light of Jesus. Did you hear what I said? No darkness can stand against the light of Jesus Christ. No, not even the darkness of Satan. And some people have lived their lives giving themselves over to Satan, following his ways, and thinking that his promises bring freedom, but they only bring bondage and captivity. And the difficulty is when you follow after the devil rather than Christ, is it looks so good, but then you're trapped and it's so hard to get out. But it's not impossible with the light of Jesus Christ. Also, darkness is powerless against the light. Not even the darkness of sin can overpower you when you let Jesus in. Addictions to alcohol, drugs, or any other selfish pursuit that keeps wrapping itself around your ankles and pulling you down deeper into the pit of filth, and you think that you can never get out of this. What am I going to do? The light of Jesus Christ. He can snap those chains and turn every light on in the room of your heart. He'll go down into the cellar and turn the light on, and darkness will flee. He'll expel the darkness from your soul. That's who Jesus Christ is. Not even the darkness of religion can overpower the light of Christ. Jesus is more powerful than any false god, any statue of wood or metal that people worship, which only brings more darkness and captivity. And he sets us free to worship the true and living God. Like I said earlier, John 17:3, "This is eternal life, that you may know the only true God." You can know God. That's awesome. The life and light that Jesus Christ offers. We're told in our scriptures that Jesus is the true light. That's verse 9. There was the true light. He's genuine. He shines on every person. And that's why, as Christians, we need to put our energy into and our money behind missions and work that can get the light of the gospel out to the whole world so they can know about Jesus Christ. Let me share this illustration from you, or for you, to you, with you. There it is. There's the proper preposition. Let me share this illustration with you from Gospel for Asia. K.P. Yohanan is the leader of Gospel for Asia, and he sent out this letter, and here's just a quick correspondence from that concerning the Jesus wells that you have so sacrificially given towards. It says, "National missionaries facing opposition and persecution gain the trust of villagers by drilling Jesus wells. Villagers see that Christians care and many open their hearts to the living water, Jesus Christ. Wells are purposely drilled in villages where churches are being planted, so pastors and believers have a natural platform on which to share their faith. Now, here's what I'm talking about, spreading the light. One of our churches has already grown from 25 people to 125 people over the past year because the pastor is the only one showing these villagers any compassion. We believe that this church can grow to 250 people or more through the witness opportunities afforded by a Jesus well. And so that's one particular way, and that's what your gifts are going towards, is to spread the gospel. Not only provide people's physical needs, but also spiritual needs. And so spreading the light of Jesus. So let me proclaim to you at this Christmas time that when you receive the gift of Jesus, and obviously giving the gift of light that comes along with that, that where there was darkness, there's now light because Jesus is the light of the world. And where there was death, there is now life inside of you because Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. Where there was turmoil, there is now peace because Jesus says, my peace I give to you. And where there was despair, there is hope because the scriptures say that Jesus is our hope. I want to have you today, just by show of hands, how many of you would say, you're pondering this message, maybe you've heard it tons and tons and tons of times before, but you would say, at the very core of who you are, yeah, my life has been changed by Christ. I do have life living inside of me. I do have light. And I'm a different person than I was before. You would just say, that's really the core issue of life, all these other trappings around us. But yeah, I would say, yeah, Jesus is living inside me. He has made a difference in my life. Just go ahead and raise your hand. Christ has made a difference in my life. That's awesome. You see, this is tangible. Thank you. This isn't some religious rhetoric that I get to do every week and wow you with my eloquence. Not. This is life. Jesus Christ makes a tangible difference in our lives. Where would we be without him? Without the light of Christ and the love of Christ and the life that Christ offers to us. There's no present that we could buy or receive, no possession that we could own, no job we could have, no idol that we could worship, no religion we could follow that will fill us with the life, light, and love of God that comes through and only comes through knowing Jesus Christ as our Savior. So we think about this Christmas as the gift-wrapped God given to us. We receive the gift of Christ. We receive the gift of light and life. Let's move on now to this third gift that we receive. When we receive Christ, that babe given into the world, we receive the gift of being a child of God. Verses 10 through 13 tells us this. Let me remind you, it says, Jesus was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, that is his own domain, the one that he had made, and those who were his own, that is the Jewish people, his own people, but obviously by extension out to us, did not receive him. So if we think about receiving this gift of Jesus, first of all, don't reject the gift. Don't reject the gift. Think about, I don't know if you've ever had a present that you've never unwrapped. That'd be foolish. I want to know what's inside, right? This Christmas time, if you get gifts from other people, are you going to let them sit there for 2 years? No, I'm going to wrap. What's inside? I want to know. Receive the gift. Open the gift. Don't reject it. Verse 10 says the world did not know him. Verse 11 says they didn't even receive him. Now, maybe this dilemma has come up in your mind. It came up in my mind. If Jesus offers eternal life and true life now, and light, and expels the darkness from my soul, from all those things that I'm chasing after, but never really provide any fulfillment anyways. And he offers that and proves it, then why doesn't everybody receive it? I mean, who could pass up that offer? Well, here's the answer. Jesus tells us himself in John chapter 3, verses 19 and 20. Jesus says, this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men loved the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. There's the answer. You don't think this sin issue, this rebellion against God is a big deal? It so darkens our minds and our hearts that it causes us to reject the very thing that would free us from the bondage that we're in. That's how blinding sin is. I love the darkness. I love to do what I want to do. And forget the light. Forget Christ. I love what I do. Men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds are evil. I'm not coming to the light. He'll expose my deeds. But it's actually in the exposing of your deeds where true life is found. Because all that is bondage over here with Christ is freedom. So don't reject the gift for some mirage that you think is going to bring you happiness. Also, don't try to earn the gift. Look at verse 12 and 13. Actually, verse 13 first. It says we can be born of God. We can be born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but born of God. There he's speaking about it's not something we earn by natural or manufactured means, not by human effort, not by human decision. Why? We just read it in John chapter 3. The darkness inside of all of us is so all-encompassing that no quantity of good deeds or right thinking or personal sacrifice can earn us a spot in God's family as his child. Now, this is talking about people who have not received Christ yet. If you've received Christ, you have the life. You have the light inside of you. The darkness has been expelled. It has no power over you. Now you have a choice to live for Christ or to live for yourself if you've trusted Christ as your Savior. That's the beauty of it. So don't try to earn the gift on your own. Verse 12 tells us exactly what we need to do. Here's the crux of the message today. At Christmas time, the gift has been given, and we're told in verse 12, as many as, tell me what the R word is there, as many as received them. Again, at Christmas time, you're not going to say, thanks, just go ahead and take all those Christmas presents back, right? Hope you save the bill because you're going to get your money back. I'm not opening them. That'd be foolish. But as many as received him, to them, he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. That's how we receive him, by faith. This new birth, being born into the family of God, is a gift. We couldn't earn it on our own. It's given. And that's what makes Christmas so wonderful, is that the God of all the universe says, I'm going to give them a gift. They can't earn eternal life on their own. I'm going to give them this gift, the gift of my son, to die on the cross for their sins, to rise again from the dead, to have victory over everything in this world. To be called a child of God, we receive the gift that he offers us by faith. Another quick story about another woman in our church. Asked her to give just a quick snippet this week of what her life was like before Christ and what her life was like after receiving Christ. This whole life, or death, life, darkness, light type motif. She said before she trusted in Christ, she was skeptical of the Bible. She encouraged other people, and probably herself too, to do whatever. Just do whatever. Whatever makes you happy. Whatever you feel is necessary for the moment. She said she was very self-centered, living in the darkness. But then she says, since receiving Christ, she completely trusts him. It's a whole different thing. It's no longer trusting myself, but it's now all about what God wants. She understands her life's purpose, and that's light. You have a purpose in life, to live for God. And then she understands her need of him. Her husband's in the same boat. Just a few years ago, both of them received Christ and gave their lives to him. And it came down to understanding that receiving Christ was about grace, not about earning it. What has Christ done for you? Receive that gift by faith. They didn't reject it any longer. They didn't try to earn it. They just received it. The whole point of Christmas is what the angel announced in Luke chapter 2, verses 10 through 11. He says, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. If you know Christ as your Savior, this is all about Christmas. It's rejoicing in the life and the light that God has given us. My life has changed. I'm a different person because I know Jesus Christ, and a different person for the better. Rejoice in that and give thanks to God for that. But if you've never received Christ today, you came to church today, your friend brought you, or you're just searching for something, you just came in today. I want to give you that opportunity to receive the gift that God so freely offers. If you'll just turn to him by faith and receive it and begin to live for him. Let's all bow our heads today And again, if you're a believer in Christ, if you would just give thanks to God and rejoice that we have the gift of love and life and light in Christ. If you've never received Christ as Savior, in your heart, you pray this to God. Not necessarily these words, but expressing your faith to Him.